Welcome to Talking Healthcare, Insights from Global Leaders. This podcast is brought to you by the International Hospital Federation and the Geneva Sustainability Center to feature healthcare leaders and executives from the IHF's global community sharing their expertise, knowledge, and insights into cutting-edge topics in healthcare. We have taken the occasion of Earth Day, the 22nd of April, to record a special episode of our podcast focusing on the role of hospitals in relation to environmental sustainability, a natural fit with their leading role in their communities and as champions of health. At the IHF World Hospital Congress 2023 in Lisbon, the plenary session on sustainability in healthcare triggered a lot of queries from the audience. In today's podcast, we are delighted to welcome two healthcare leaders who will speak at our IHF Congress 2024 to answer some of these questions. Dr. Tosif Dean, CEO of the MP Shah Hospital in Kenya, will engage in a discussion with a speaker from our host country, Mr. Vital Ribeiro, President of the Board Healthy Hospitals Project in Brazil and nominated speaker by the Brazilian Hospital Federation.
Welcome, everybody. I am Dr. Tosif Dean, CEO at the MP Shah Hospital in Nairobi, Kenya, a not-for-profit, a social service-based hospital. And I am really delighted to host this podcast about environmental sustainability in healthcare. Today, I have the pleasure to welcome a colleague to join discuss this critical topic, Mr. Vital Ribeiro, President of the Board Healthy Hospitals Project Brazil. Welcome, Mr. Vital, to this podcast. Vital, we look forward to visiting your home country, Brazil, on the occasion of the 47th IHF World Hospital Congress that will be taking place in September in Rio. And we will also have the chance to share the stage during the second plenary session on the 11th of September. And I am really excited. And I really encourage all audiences to come and witness big talks on environmental sustainability and for big changes we as leaders can make. As we now know, climate change has a direct and increasingly damaging impact on both the health of our communities and healthcare delivery. Luckily, the healthcare sector has many opportunities to reduce its negative environmental impact while contributing to better health for all. All hospitals must act and get started on this journey, whether it's in high, middle, or low-income countries. However, with many competing priorities, some arguments take over and discourage us leaders from taking action. Today, we will discuss about key topics that often come as barriers or concerns for hospital leaders on the journey towards net zero healthcare. We will talk about cost and investments. We'll be talking about how we can engage our clinicians as fundamental leaders. And finally, we'll touch upon how data can be an ally on this journey. These three topics were raised during the IHF World Hospital Congress in 2023 and will be integrated in our plenary session this year in September in Rio. Vital, thank you again for agreeing to be part of this discussion, and I really look forward to engaging you with the first question. I come from a finance background, Vital, and therefore numbers get me excited, so I'll start with that question. Cost is usually perceived as a barrier to getting started on this journey, with questions such as, is there evidence that going green also reduces costs? Or how do we balance people, profit, and planet? How do we convince others that environmental sustainability is, you know, fiscally viable? So how do you prioritize these funding pressures that we have, and how do we manage the competing demands and pressures on finances?
Thanks, Tosif. Thanks, everybody, for having me today. It's a huge pleasure to be here talking about environmental sustainability in healthcare. That's really a good question to start. Probably the main issue that raised when we start this discussion. And evidently, not everything we need to do to achieve the necessary environmentally sustainability will be or will appear to be economically viable in a given moment. Economic viability varies depending on the region as well as over the time, reflecting the evolution of technological and market determinants. I know it sounds cliché, but we should think GHG reduction emissions measures as investments, not just as costs. Maybe this is the initial problem when people see these measures just as additional costs, not just as investments. We could use specific methods to compare the payback and the viability of these investments. One of the best methodologies is the MAC curve, the MAC curve, which allow you to compare the return on emissions avoided per dollar invested. So I really recommend this kind of study, but it's a quite complex process. So we could have much more simpler models that can be applied for punctual intervention. And in Brazil, investments in situ generation of clean energy, especially in energy efficiency, are very attractive. So I really recommend starting by energy. There are still some low-hanging fruits with great results in reducing emissions and environmental impact at virtually no cost. A well-known example is the replacement of anesthetic gases with other forms of anesthesia. And there are also surprising opportunities by simply eliminating products or packaging that weren't actually needed. Environmental and economic policies, such as changes on subsidies and taxes, also tend to affect the return on investments. That's why I think we need to pay attention on regulatory trends. I think healthcare organizations must advocate for more solid and ambitious climate national policies that will allow greater security in the investments that the sector needs to make to reduce emissions. And finally, I believe that it's possible to get important competitive advantages by anticipating technologies and business models that will become standard or even mandatory in the future. I believe that the investment's worth.
Thank you very much, Vital. And I really liked your opening statement. You know, you said, look at it as an investment and not as a cost. You've been quite resourceful linking us to the Mack Wolf return on investments model, the Imprezio investments model. And I think here at Empisha Hospital, you know, we recently reduced, rather we totally eliminated the use of nitrous oxide in our operating theaters. And I think that level of training and sensitization that this can be done. You mentioned important points about taxes and subsidies and to be champions of climate change policies. And you really conclude with a very strong agenda of giving the hospitals a competitive advantage. And I think with, you know, with resource limiting countries like Kenya, for example, where we have limited budgets and infrastructure, it can become very challenging to prioritize environmental sustainability initiatives. Even though they are critical for long-term cost investments in public health, usually we have quite a number of challenges. And of course, I will definitely read up upon the information that you mentioned. And thank you. Thank you so much for that. We'll move on to our next question, Vital. And this question is really a very important one on in terms of engagement. There is a belief that environmental sustainability in healthcare is mostly about buildings, energy, while it's also a lot about the people and health. Vital, you are an architect by training, so you know very well about the importance of infrastructures. What is your take on this? Could you tell us more about the importance of this agenda for clinical models and clinicians' engagement so we avoid getting stuck on buildings?
Thank you for this amazing question. Yes, I am an architect and I have been working on health in healthcare my whole career. So I think about myself as a health professional. And buildings, equipment, and supplies are just the result of people's choice and decisions. That's the key to understand why building is so important, but people is much more important. Leaders have great responsibilities, but other healthcare professionals are involved in some way. in the necessary change process. We are talking about a huge transformation on healthcare, and this needs to involve everybody. Healthcare is provided by people and for people. In Brazil, we have more than 6 million people directly employed by the sector. If we are able to make half of these professionals realize the importance of facing climate change, we will begin a major change. Yesterday, I participated in a meeting with three main directors of a traditional hospital in São Paulo, a huge hospital. The sustainability team asked me to explain to the CEO, to the technical director and the administrative director, why it was important to invest in carbon management in the institution. One of the three directors, two were doctors. I didn't really have to convince them, and it was a good surprise to see they were already very worried about and informed about the risks to the business of the climate crisis scenario. This would not have happened 5 years ago. So I think we have an important evolution in the perception of the importance of sustainability in healthcare, mainly with the leaders. But yes, we could still find people that don't see the same way. In any case, there remains an enormous task of transmitting this board decision and engage hundreds of nurses, doctors, and technicians who works at this hospital. So decarbonization, depending on changing the mindset of healthcare professionals to innovate and implement change in almost all work processes. It will be also necessary to transmit this to users, to the patients of the health unit, so they accept and collaborate in these changes. We also need to think about the population that use the healthcare. Facing challenges such as reduce the use of plastic in healthcare, we will only have any chance of success with people's engagement. So we have huge tasks to implement, and people are essential on this process.
Thank you so much, Vital. And again, you really are, you've brought in such a strong point on in terms of, the change process, the changing of the mindset. And again, you touch on a topic that I'm very passionate about. How can we become more innovative? How can we bring that innovation and, get unstuck? Because I know with my experience at the MP Shah Hospital, it's always about, first let's improve the indoor environmental quality. And you, with being, an architect, we're talking about air quality, we are talking about thermal comfort, acoustic comfort, and so many things that form an integral part and the parameters of indoor environmental quality. You've highlighted the broader scope of environmental sustainability within healthcare. And it's clear, that while infrastructure does play a crucial role, involvement of clinicians is equally essential in driving meaningful change. And I think that change can only happen with a change of mindset. And I think I have also tried to engage clinicians. And of course, there's always this tough line between should I do clinical work or should I do administration? But I think it's to be able to inculcate and make it a process of their work. Vital, allow me to move to the next and the final question. We often hear very catchy phrases like data is the new oil. And data collection has the potential to indicate where to improve. As Peter Drucker says, what gets measured gets done. But it can also be perceived as an exhaustive first step. However, it's the only starting point, and various measures can be implemented based on existing evidence and good practices. Vital, what do you think of this? And how would you present the value of measuring and benchmarking to really encourage our audience?
Yes, I'm suspect to talk about this issue because I'm a big advocate for data collection. I believe there is a lot of mystification in data handling, so we need to talk more about this. Most of the information needs to build an emission inventory, for example. If we focus on scopes 1 and 2, which is the main for the first approach, all this data is already available in hospital financial, supply, and engineering departments. So this is all the production and infrastructure data necessary to compose denominators of the indicators, also available in the hospital accounting and statistics systems. So we have the environmental impact, we have the control of the size and the operation. So we can build indicators without needing additional efforts to create the data, to produce the data. The data is already there. We just need to manage this. We don't really need to produce new data. Perhaps it's less than an issue about the effort to get data, but to build, it's about resistance of the trending of having metrics for almost everything in a modern healthcare. Today, the health professional have a lot to managerial work to do. And I believe that sometimes they think I'm here to do healthcare or just to manage data. This is something very challenging. On one hand, many hospitals implement very effective initiatives, but have to difficult to demonstrate their economic sustainability and environmental benefits because they have not collected the data necessary to generate the evidence to ensure the continuity. On the other hand, hospitals tend to over-evaluate expensive and complex projects, even if they are not very effective, which is not properly perceived when objectives and metrics for validation are not applied. We need the data to avoid ineffective projects. That seems to be very important and not really bring the results. And we really need data to keep the sustainability of projects that are very effective. And we have the risk of not having resources to keep the project going if we don't have data to demonstrate it. Zero emissions by 2050. That's the target. And it's an ambitious and extremely difficult goal. As keeping the planet warming below 1.5 or even 2 degrees Celsius. I'm sorry, but we are going to have a lot of numbers to deal with in the coming decades. We will have a lot of quantitative work to guarantee that we are in the right path to zero emissions into 2050. That's the point for advocate for data management.
Wow, that's quite a comprehensive answer, Vital. And I think here I would really like to, just share a quick input from me on the potential benefits of utilizing tools like the Geneva Sustainability Center Sustainability Accelerator tool. I had a, privilege of piloting it, and it's really an easy tool to use, and it really helps in streamlining data collection and analysis processes. And I think we encourage our audiences to, use such tools that can help healthcare facilities efficiently gather relevant data, identify areas of improvement, and track their sustainability performance over time. You talk about education, you talk about evidence-based targets, and you're right, Vital. I think there's always the big question that what's the evidence, before I invest anything else in it, what is the impact factor? And that's a challenge that we even have in, in Kenya, being a very tough economy and with so many changes that are happening, what do you really prioritize? And thank you so much for answering that question. And now, Vital, we move on to the final part of this podcast. And if you are given a chance as a healthcare executive, to really champion this, and what is it that you would tell one CEO to another to inspire action, if that direct conversation was to happen between you and another healthcare executive, what kind of a conversation would you have to inspire action in this point?
There is a lot of important arguments And I think sometimes it sounds different for a public hospital, a private hospital, a not-for-profit. But one common aspect for all of them is about the responsibility of the position of being leading a big hostel, which for almost everybody means the health system. The contact with the health systems and the main institution are the hospitals. So when a hospital don't have an environmental policy, don't have a program for tackling the climate change, they are transmitting a message that they don't get. The silence is as much important as what they talk. So when a hospital, a big hospital, or an important medical doctor that is respected by the community call attention for climate change, it's such an important process of spread the message and mobilize the population. And sometimes we see in healthcare leaders the position of being accommodate or expected that the government do everything, the waiting for some kinds of signal from the national government. And I really believe that the movement that healthcare would lead could bring this reaction, this movement, this answer from the government. We should not expect that the government may make something, make commitments, or start a policy without any reaction from the population, and mainly considering the health sector is the really strongly affected by climate change. So it's their responsibility, our responsibility, to start this discussion, to do this talk.
And again, I mean, I think leaders having the power, using their powerful positions to be able to get the message out there, you stress on the importance of policy a lot, Vital, and that's crucial for us to be able to implement. Earlier on in our conversation, you had also made a very strong remark that we should eliminate products and packaging, to boost environmental sustainability. So, Vital, that now brings me to the end of this podcast. Thank you again, Vital, for joining me today.
So thank you, Tosif. Thank you, everyone from IHF, for this amazing opportunity. And I would like to invite you all to participate in the conference next September in Rio. And it's also an opportunity to know this such a beautiful city in Brazil. And I'm really looking forward to meet you in person. So see you there.
I look forward to the IHF World Hospital Congress taking place this September in Brazil, in your home country, Vital. And we will have the chance to explore this topic together once more with two other excellent speakers during the second plenary session titled Net Zero Healthcare, Debunking the Myths. And I encourage our audience to join us on this journey, and I look forward to seeing you all. Thank you very much for joining in, and have yourselves a pleasant journey ahead. Thank you, and God bless.
Join us at the IHF World Hospital Congress in Rio de Janeiro from 10 to 12 September to hear Dr. Tosif Dean and Mr. Vital Ribeiro on stage along with other inspiring healthcare leaders. You can contact the IHF Secretariat for more information on our Congress and to learn more about our work to support hospital leaders on their sustainability journey. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and head on to Anchor, Apple, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Make sure you will never miss an episode from us. For more information on the International Hospital Federation and the Geneva Sustainability Center, you may visit www.ihf-fih.org. Goodbye!